It's a pleasure to welcome back Dr. Paul. Nearly 40 years ago, he published The Case for Gold. It remains a very timely case study in defense of the restoration of the U.S. dollar to a sound money system. Welcome back, Dr. Paul.
Thank you. Good to be back with you.
Dr. Paul, it took less than 5 years after President Nixon closed the gold window before we started to see signs of galloping inflation. Fed officials, it really put them in a frenzy, I think you'd agree, to contain that price genie. Now we're on the cusp of 40 years since the 1980s inflation scare. How bad are things now since then?
Well, I think they're much, much worse. And, you know, the closing of the gold window was significant because it was the event that motivated me to get involved in public life and speaking out politically. But the prices going up in the mid-70s had a lot to do with the breakdown of Bretton Woods, but it also had a lot to do with the money printed before it broke down, because gold was kept at an artificial price at $35, and they kept printing, and everybody back then that knew anything about money knew it wouldn't hold. But it was sort of price fixing is what they were doing. So when the breakdown came, which was a predictable event, Henry Hazlitt was the one that predicted that when they set up the Bretton Woods Agreement. But then again, it meant there was license, to print even more money. And ironically, we weren't even allowed to own gold at that time. You know, the American people were denied that right. But the world knew about it. The rules were there. Gold exploded. Didn't stop moving in that decade until it hit $800 before it decided it overshot.
In Ron Paul Liberty Report last month, you noted the Fed can't save us, but gold can. And that was in response, I'm sure, to the new rate cut cycle that we'll probably see in earnest at this month's FOMC meeting, maybe as soon as the 31st of this month. Might this be the beginning of that 1970-style stagflationary episode?
No, I think it's an accumulation of many things, and it's going to be a lot worse because confidence was, in a way, restored. You know, and gold settled down. It actually went down sharply back down, you know, below $300 before it took off again. So there is not a direct relationship between the expansion of the money and the gold price, the gold ratio, other than the fact that there will be one, and the more you print money, the higher the ratio will be, the higher the price of gold will be. But it doesn't happen on a day-to-day basis. So those individuals that agreed with us on that issue back in the 70s, that was when I started, you know, buying gold, even though we had to buy a numismatic gold, but it was indication that they would continue this. But figuring out exactly the responses are not that easy. A lot of people say, well, you know, Ron, if they're increasing the supply of money by 50%, prices will go up 50% and everybody will be happy. But that's not the way it works. We can't predict exactly when they'll go up. We can't predict who will get hit the most, whether it will be consumer products, commodities, or stocks, or bonds, or whatever. And that's really the job for those who are investing in gold. They have to figure that all out. People who want to protect themselves in gold, that's a different story, because you don't have to try to outguess, each and every event. To your statement about how does this compare to what was happening in the 70s, I think this is much, much bigger. There's a lot more concern. There's a lot more debt out there. And when you think about it, in 1971, the inflation of the money supply that happened from 45 up to 71, it was huge, but it's nothing like what we just went through on the expansion with QE. You know, the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve, you know, went from less than $1 trillion, 0.8 trillion, up to 4.5, and it's still there, and it's still coming out, and they're able to, you know, sort of hold the economy together. Every time there's a hint, there's been the biggest rigging now comes, both governments always rig the price of gold to protect themselves. You have that going on, but you also have this artificial stimulation and excitement about the stock markets by rigging the interest rates and the price of money. And so they're in a game of playing, which they've done for a long time, and it's part of history of money. But this one is much, much bigger. It's more global than ever, and there's more debt than ever. So I expect that when people acknowledge this, that it's going to be very, very bad. So what I look at right now that I think is the biggest warning sign is negative interest rates, because that will not be tolerated by the market, you know, because it makes no sense. And the whole thing is they can't fool the people all the time. So people will wake up. But what we're seeing in these last 2 years, everybody say, well, the stock market is up, stock market is up. But really, the reassurance from the stock market is about where it was in January of last year. So nobody's made a killing in the stock market from January of 18 up until now. It's basically at the same place. But it's sort of rigged. It's you have to have a cheerleader, and there's all kinds of psychological factors that work in. And one thing that gives us the extreme protection more than we deserve is that we have the reserve currency of the world. So people have to accept our dollars, but there's a big contest going on right now because people are getting annoyed with us for how we throw our weight around and put on sanctions and getting too much involved in regime change. So that event is going to be a big thing, because there's a lot of people in this world that would like to dethrone us from managing the reserve currency of the world, because that has given us tremendous advantages. People complain about our export, but we have the neatest deal in the world. We export paper money, and we buy goods and services, and the world will catch on to that, because it's not a fair deal. It's really a great deal for us now. I consider it artificial, and the people of the world will catch on.
The folks listening to us today, they want to improve their family's wealth, and they'd like to see their retirements perhaps comfortable and make sure their families have the best education and things of that nature. But I think the Ron Paul Liberty message extends beyond that. You know, some of these draconian practices don't distribute the wealth. Basic economics teaches us this is a regressive tax. When you increase the money supply, it puts an unfair burden on the working and the middle classes to the benefit of those at the top of the pyramid. Are we looking at another great recession circa 2008, or are we looking at something possibly even more nefarious?
If I were an investor, and maybe there was somebody out there that knew there would be a correction after gold went up over 1,400 and it corrected, and maybe they bought when it went under 1,400. But I don't do this. For me, it's protection, it's insurance. I like the issue because I relate it to the principles of liberty. The founders understood it, and that's why they said no paper money, only gold and silver as legal tender. And that to me is the issue, because when you have a powerful central bank, and the Federal Reserve is probably the most powerful ever in the history, it allows at least the whole host country to have unlimited spending and unlimited debt until the people to get tired of financing us. To me, the real threat is our freedoms when you have an organization like this, because they're more prone to go to war. If we as a country had to pay for all the wars that we get involved in, just think of what kind of a society we would have had. It'd be completely different if we paid for all the warmongering and the militarism and the military-industrial complex and all the problems that we have created and we're still involved. I mean, nobody would pay their taxes for that. What if every taxpayer had to pay a monthly fee to keep these wars gone? It wouldn't work. What if we couldn't finance the welfare state by deficits and the government buying up government debt? I mean, nobody would pay for this. So you have to keep the gimmick going, and you have to deceive the people, and you have to wheel and deal. And so far, we've been able to wheel and deal better than anybody else currently. But even the people who've sort of been excited about, they say, you know, this is the longest recovery we've ever had. Isn't this fancy? But if you look at it, the first 5 years, if you go from 2007 on up, those first 5 and 6 years were very, very bad. And matter of fact, there's still people who aren't recovering in spite of the reports that we get from our government. I look carefully at everything they tell me, whether it's what's going on around the world and even the economic statistics. Things are better. I think the tax cuts have helped. Less regulation is good. That sort of is, you know, feeding the fire. You know, they're keeping it alive for false pretenses because they're not dealing with the problem. too much government, too much spending, too much printed money, and too much special interest. And I think the people are getting fooled. I think there are a lot of people who have not enjoyed the recovery. So in some ways, we in the libertarian conservative movement, you know, shouldn't, you know, make fun of those individuals from the other side of the spectrum saying, you know, there are some people who are really suffering, you know, and they haven't enjoyed it. And the one thing that Mises taught, the great Austrian economist, he says, if a country destroys its money, it will destroy its middle class. So when you look at the statistics and what's going on, I think there's pretty good evidence that the middle class is suffering, and there are some people that are earning more or accumulating more wealth unfairly.
You know, Dr. Paul, you spoke earlier in real terms. You know, the Dow is really close to its point around the year 2000, almost 20 years ago. The Nasdaq also in the vicinity. So it took almost two decades. But let's also backtrack to the price of gold, which I'm sure you'll recall was around $200 to $300. What's shielded people from inflation?
The best one throughout history has been gold, but what if you talk somebody into buying gold and you convince them of it and they bought gold at $1,800? You know, they don't understand these short periods and you know, the adjustment. But the points that you were making, I think, are very, very good about where real values are. But what about the wages? The nominal wage goes up. The real wage for the average person doesn't go up. And that's the other point about inflation, that it isn't equal to everybody. Everybody doesn't have increased prices and increased wages, and that's why there's a lot of resentment. That's why I think there's class warfare going on right now, because, you know, if you're in a small income and it's retirement income, your cost of living might not be the same as somebody who has a real big income. Besides, the ones that have those huge incomes don't even care. This is measuring real wealth is an important thing to do, but this is deception. It's done on purpose. They have to lie to us about the gold. They have to rig the prices. Right now, you know, just looking at the market, it seems so interesting that finally gold breaks out, but silver is still very much in the doldrum. So I can't believe that's a very natural phenomenon, because I don't think they've demonetized silver. But somebody's able to rig the price of silver.
Bill Murphy and Chris Powell and many others there agree with you. And they say that it's J.P. Morgan because they have just enormous tons of silver in their physical bullion stockpiles, involved with the PTBs, the powers that be, trying to keep silver contained.
And that's how I got involved in politics, with no expectation ever that I'd be elected to Congress, let alone get a little bit of attention while I was in Congress in presidential races to call attention to the Federal Reserve. And the longer I've been involved, the more I'm convinced that that is a key. A love of liberty is most important, and understanding what individual rights mean. It is the issue of money that finances all the bad stuff. So that's why I concentrate on this. And I do a daily program that's live on the internet, the Ron Paul Liberty Report. A lot of it's on foreign policy. But when I went to Washington, and when I got started, it was mainly on economic issues, inflation, and you mentioned earlier on the massive inflation, price inflation, and interest rates of the 1970s. That's what motivated me to talk about it. But as time went on, I could see that it all came together with a big issue of the monetary system, but the big issue is liberty. If you have an understanding of liberty being the absence of aggression, that you can't do any harm to anybody else, and a country should act the same way, all of a sudden, you have a different foreign policy, you have a different social policy, you don't become over-judgmental, you know, on social issues. At the same time, you have an economy that's a free market, you have to have honesty in money. So it's the principle of liberty and how the metals have served the purpose of being used as the money of choice. And that's been biblical, because it's been known for 6,000 years that honest measures and honest money has always been in the metals. I still believe that to be true.
This trade skirmish between the U.S. and our key trading partners, particularly China, I mean, this has some investors on edge. Now, we've on one side of the arena, we have economists who are nervous over the potential for trade reverberations, you know, to echo the 1930s Great Depression period. However, so far, it seems to be a non-event. Little, if any, impact has been felt in the domestic or global economies. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's been a lot of noise. The tariffs have started, but they really haven't done all the damage yet. So I'm surprised, too, that it hasn't done more harm. But, you know, there's a lot of ramifications, and sometimes something will happen for 1 year and 8 weeks until the next year. But when I look at the trade issue, I see it from a freedom issue, that if you live in a free country, you ought to be able to keep what you earn, which means that I don't believe in the income tax, and you ought to be able to spend it the way you want, which means that you should be able to buy wherever you want to buy. And unless we were in a declared war someplace, that you ought to be able to buy shoes from China or Mexico or wherever, and that we shouldn't be in this issue of protectionism. Don't like protectionism and tariffs, and I don't like sanctions. That's all, you know, requires, a force to impose these. And that is where our problems come from. Now, the Constitution gives us the right to have tariffs, but what they were thinking back then was a universal tariff, not protective tariffs and not to wheel and deal in management or help special countries and all. I know the founders didn't think that we should have a WTO and a NAFTA and these government agencies of telling us what to do. And if somebody does something you don't like, you go to this organization and they say, well, okay, you can put on some tariffs. That's managed trade. I don't like the managed trade. I think you can solve that problem, you know, looking at the particulars about what liberty is all about. But I don't think we're doing any help for ourselves, because this whole idea that it's announced we just collected $30 billion last night on tariffs. Well, the money comes out of the pockets of Americans. They have to pay them at the border, and it just pushes the prices up. So there's one indirect step there, but we end up paying for it. So China doesn't pay for the tariff, but I want essentially no tariffs and free trades and no bailouts. And it's a different world if you approach this where no individual can commit aggression, but governments can't commit aggression. This, to me, is the most important point people don't want to listen to or follow. You and I and all individuals know that we can't go into our neighbor's house and steal their car and steal their stuff. It's still, fortunately, seen as being illegal. But nobody questions the principle of sending the government to do it for us. Now we live in an age of spying on everybody, and we have a government that doesn't allow us to have any privacy, and the government's totally secret. So those kind of things can be solved by understanding that nobody can initiate force against another person. No lying, no cheating, no stealing, no killing, which are principles that have been around for a lot of years. Be good if we revisited them.
It's incredible advice, and I think it really does require a new mindset. People today believe that Big Brother is here to serve and protect them. That at least is the concept. But recall what Benjamin Franklin, paraphrase him, I mean, if we can keep these rights and liberties, if we can keep this form of government, we have to capture that right to personal freedom. Dr. Paul, it's always an honor to have you on GoldSeek.com Radio.
Great to be with you.
Shopping for fine jewelry just got easier. GoldSeek.com has identified the most successful jewelry brand to launch in recent times. Many Jewelry is rewriting the way consumers buy fine jewelry. Integrity Craftsmanship, the only company to sell 24-karat gold and platinum jewelry, avoiding confusing alloys and gems, a true precious metals investment. Many Jewelry's disruptive business model embraces Franco-American craftsmanship and direct-to-consumer economics, rapidly disrupting the $20 billion monopoly, just like Amazon and Uber. The sky is the limit with $1 billion of jewelry purchases daily for loved ones and those special occasions. Many Jewelry is an innovator positioned to capture market share, with annual sales growth in the industry topping $30 billion by 2021. Many Jewelry coined the term investment jewelry, pricing by the gram, transparently disclosing its profit margins, a truer investment in pure gold or platinum. Similar to real estate, even artwork, Many Jewelry has a weighted value easily calculated, ensuring value wealth as a long-term investment. With sales in 60 countries around the globe, 20,000 orders already, don't miss out on the explosive growth potential. Many Jewelry trades under the symbols MENE on the Toronto Exchange, and in the US, MENEF. Remember to sign up to Many's Shareholder Club to receive shareholder news, updates, and special discount codes for jewelry purchases. Remember, Many Jewelry.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. GoldSeek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. One Gold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. One Gold uses Vault Chain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals distributed ledger and blockchain technology. Vault Chain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through One Gold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, One Gold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. Vault Chain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.